Some of you know that for the last couple of weeks we've been watching or looking at the verses dealing with what was needed in the lives of these believers, seemingly what was needed to be reconciled unto the Lord. It seems as though some that James was writing to had gone astray in their walk with God, and so he was trying to help them to get back to where they needed to be. And so last week we found ourselves in verse number 10 where James said, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." And we talked about the only way that a humbling could be necessary or needed is if there was some pride. And so we talked about how the believers, if they were going to get right with God, they had to be willing to humble themselves and admit that they were wrong, that God was right. And James said if they would be willing to do this, then the Lord would lift them up, and that the joy would be restored, the happiness would be restored, the gladness would be brought back into their lives. And so I tried to remind us, just very simply last week, that whenever we stray, something we have to do to be made right with God is we've got to humble ourselves. We have to refuse this idea, and we have to reject this idea that we're right and he is wrong. We have to be willing to admit that he is right, we're the ones who are wrong, and whenever we do that, the joy will be restored to our lives. So that's what we talked about last week, and this morning we're going to continue and deal with a couple more verses. I want to begin today by talking about something I know I've mentioned in the past, and I just want to spend a couple of moments on this. I'm not going to elaborate in a real long fashion, but I want us to think about this truth that if you have more than one child in the house, there is no doubt that you have more than one personality present. No two children are exactly alike. Their personalities are going to vary to some extent, to some degree. Now, again, I don't know how this would be seen or played out maybe in your house with the children you raised or maybe with the siblings that you grew up with, but this, I think, would be somewhat common, that you've always got at least one child who seems fairly compliant. They're fairly happy to just kind of go with the flow, and whatever others are doing, they're more than happy to do that. And they just have one of those spirits about themselves that says they're good with whatever's taking place. At the same time, this would not be uncommon to have one of those children to be very strong-willed and of just a stronger personality. They might be a little bit more opinionated. They might be a little bit less compliant to just do what everyone else is doing. And sometimes, because of their personality, here's what they find themselves being: a little bit on the bossy side. Have you ever noticed this? That some kids, they are just of the spirit, they are just of the demeanor, that they feel as though they need to try to be in control of every situation surrounding them. So they might try to tell their siblings what they ought to be doing, how they ought to be acting, what they ought to be eating, what they ought to be wearing, when they ought to be going to bed, when they ought to be taking a nap, whatever it should be. They're trying to tell their siblings everything. Maybe they're trying to tell the kids at school how they ought to be behaving. You can't do this, you can't do this, you ought to do this, you can't do that, whatever it is. And have you ever noticed that sometimes these kids with those stronger, more opinionated, bossy personalities, sometimes they even try to tell the parents what they ought to be doing? Dad, you can't do that. Mom, you can't say that. No, Dad, you can't do that. No, Dad, you got to do this. Mom, you got to be doing this. Dad, Mom. And they're just trying to tell the parents even what they ought to be doing. Now, the child may in and of itself be right in what it is they are saying, either to their siblings, their classmates, their teachers, or maybe even their parents. But here's what we understand: that with their spirit, that nullifies everything they are saying, even though it might be right. And so what has a parent had to do on multiple occasions with that kind of a child, with that kind of a spirit? They've had to remind that child more than once, "You're not the boss. Have you ever had to do that with any of your kids? Just remind them, you are not in charge of this situation. You don't get to tell your siblings what to do. You don't get to tell your classmates what they can and cannot do. You don't get to correct the teachers, and you sure don't get to correct us or tell us what to do. Have you ever had to do that, or is that just something that's played out in our home a couple of times? I'm just saying, it happens. And as you've ever done that to your child, here's what you know. They kind of have this stunned look like, what? I'm not in charge? Well, I could have sworn I was. And they've got to be reminded, no, sweetie, you're not. So as we hold on to that, I want us to shift gears and change directions just a little bit. And I want us to think about something else. I may have mentioned this in the past, but it works once more. So I want us to see if we're familiar with this statement or this idea. Regardless of how it's rendered, I think we've all heard this idea from one angle or another. And that would be somebody saying something to this effect. You know, this world would be a whole lot better off if everyone was just like me. You ever heard somebody express a thought similar to that? You know, this world would be a whole lot better off if everyone was just like me. Or maybe they're with some friends and they'd say something like this. You know, this world would be a whole lot better off if everyone was just like us. Now, that statement is usually made in jest. But here's the truth. Most people really believe that. Most people really are of the opinion that if everyone were just like them, the world would be a whole lot better off. Maybe the world would be better off. Maybe the world would not be better off. But most people tend to think that everybody, if they would just act more like them, it'd be a better situation for everyone. Have you ever noticed this? That when people are not just like the person who has said that, they have a tendency sometimes to be critical of others? Are we following this? I just want us to see if this is relevant, if this is accurate, if this is true to life, that the people who think this world would be better off if everyone were just like them, or just like them and their friends, or just like their family, isn't it amazing that sometimes the people who think that everybody else needs to be like them, they can sure become critical of everyone else? Their marriage ought to be just like my marriage. Their kids ought to be just like my kids. Their finances ought to be just like my finances. Their goals and their priorities ought to be just like my goals and my priorities. And if you're not looking just like me, then you're wrong and I'm right. And it kind of goes back to what we talked about last week. But it's that spirit of if you don't look like me, and if you don't act like me, and if you're not worried about the same things that I'm worried about, well, you're wrong and I'm critical of you. Have we ever detected that in the mindset of some people and how they express themselves? It happens all the time. So as that is true, and that could be illustrated in so many different ways, I want us to think about this, that it's also true in the spiritual realm. It's not just in the everyday areas of life that we think people ought to be just like us, or more like us at least. It's in the spiritual realms of life that this can manifest itself, that whatever it is we're doing and however it is that we're living, we think that that's how everybody else ought to be doing it. Now, this morning, I want to make this statement very plainly so that there's no confusion on this, that in the Word of God, there are certain absolutes that every one of us ought to be living according to. right? That there are just some things that it is black and white. This is right. This is wrong. This is the way it should be for everyone. And it should not be this way for anyone. There are elements of the scripture that are extremely clear that this should be true of everyone. But we need to be reminded sometimes, I think all of us need to be reminded of this sometimes, that the scripture does allow for some variety, that we don't all have to be identical in how we go through life. There is room for some variation in how we live our Christian lives. Now, again, I'm not talking about the absolutes. I'm just saying there are some things that if I choose to do it one way and you choose to do it another way, it doesn't mean that I'm right and you're wrong, that you're right and I'm wrong. It just means we've come to a different conclusion in this particular area of life. There are just areas in our spiritual lives where we can be different and both be okay. It's possible. But what is our tendency? What is our struggle? It's to be critical. Because it, whatever it may be, isn't like us. And while we see that in today's culture, especially in our church culture, I want us to know something, and we're about to get to the text. I want us to know this, that it's been going on for at least 2,000 years, this struggle. How do we know? Well, notice what it says in verse number 11. James, writing to believers, he makes this statement. He says, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren." So who is he writing to? He is writing to the brethren. He is writing to fellow believers. He is writing to fellow saved individuals. And he says unto them, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren." So what does it mean whenever he says to not speak evil of one another? Well, the word "speak evil" has a lot of definitions associated with it. It means things like this: to slander. It means to defame, which carries the idea of lying about someone. It's the idea of maybe trying to destroy somebody with the words that are spoken. But it also carries this idea with it: to shame or to disgrace someone, to criticize them and to vilify them, to make them the bad guy in a particular situation. So what James said in verse number 11 is this, is you do not speak evil of one another, brethren. Whenever it comes to the brethren, whenever it comes to fellow believers, men and women, children of God, you do not speak evil of them. You don't try to shame them. You don't try to disgrace them. You don't try to vilify them. And you don't sit in criticism of them. He said that is not how it's supposed to be for the child of God. Now again, we see James dealing with this over 2,000 years ago, and it is still a problem today. So let's notice what James goes on to say. He said, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law." So he's talking about the law, which in the mind of a Jew, which is to whom he is writing, that would have been a general reference to the Word of God. So he is talking about now in verse number 11, that he that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother. What does it mean to judge someone? It means this: to declare a verdict on them. To bring upon them some kind of a sentencing. And so here's what the picture would look like. Here's the idea that James is trying to communicate, that you've got brethren who are doing things different than you, that they're not doing things exactly how you would do them. And here's what you're doing because of the differences. You're speaking evil of them. You are being critical of them. You're trying to shame them or disgrace them or vilify their actions. And in doing so, here's what you are also doing. You are casting judgment on them. You are the one who has decided that you've got the authority to pronounce some kind of a verdict on them and what they are doing. And he said, not only are you then judging them, but you are also, he said, speaking evil of the law and judging the law. What does that mean? It just means this. That when you begin to speak evil of people who are doing things differently than you, not only are you now being critical of the individual who is doing something different than you, you are now being critical of the Word of God that has allowed for the variation in one's life that may be different than yours. Now I'm just going to call a timeout right here. I did this in Sunday school. I'm going to do this real quick. We may sit here and act like this doesn't happen. We may sit here and think to ourselves, this doesn't take place. So I'm just going to do a real quick public confession. It does. And here's how I know. Susie and I did it Friday night. Say, what in the world are you talking about? Okay, Friday night, she got done with piano lessons. I took her out and we got a burger, okay? This was real romantic. We stopped by Packer Burger. We got our burgers and tater tots and drinks and we went to a park and we were sitting and visiting, and you know what we were doing? We were visiting about everything that was wrong with everybody else in light of a certain situation. We were just sitting there being critical of young people today and how lazy they are and they don't have any work ethic these days. And we were just sitting there letting it be known amongst ourselves, if parents would just get on the ball, it'd be a whole lot better off for everyone. You know what we were saying? If everybody would be like us, this world would be a whole lot better place. As we sat there, it was like the Holy Spirit said, I wonder if there's a sermon coming up anytime soon about this critical spirit where you just sit in judgment of everyone. And I thought to myself, I doubt it, and it probably doesn't even need to be preached. No, here's what happened. Just Friday night, Susie and I are sitting there, we're just talking, and we're just criticizing all these parents. Not anybody local, of course not. I'm talking about the whole world wide. Everybody is an inferior parent to whom? To us. Why? Because not everyone is raising their kids just like we've raised our kids. Are we following this? I don't want to sit there and go, well, it never happens at our house. I bet it does. We just don't like to think about it. Sure. So here's what happens. Whenever we sit in judgment of others with our critical spirit and we're speaking evil of the brethren, here is what we are also doing. We are then also speaking evil of the Word of God that reminds me that we don't have to do everything the same in our child rearing or any other area of life. See, I think this is something that we need to be reminded of, whether it be child rearing, whether it be somebody's finances, their priorities, their goals in life, whatever it may be. God has made it clear that we don't all have to be stamped from the exact same image and that we don't all have to look alike. And whenever we get critical of someone who's not doing it just like us, essentially what we're saying is I am right and the Word of God is wrong. And then we begin to vilify the Word of God that we claim to be our guide and our source of direction in life. James just spells it out here for them. It's pretty interesting, at least from my perspective. He just spells it out here for them that he that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, he is also speaking of the law and judging the law, saying essentially, the law is wrong. God's word is not accurate here. So notice what he went on to say after that. He said, but if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Now what? He said, if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law. if you're sitting around determining that God's word is not accurate here, and the only reason that it's not accurate here is because you've decided that you're always right and everyone else is always wrong, he said, you need to understand something, that you're not really a doer of the law like you may think you are a doer of the law. Don't you know that was kind of a shock to their system? You know, it's kind of like that child being told, listen, you may be doing right, but your spirit behind it has just nullified everything it is you're trying to do. So when you sit in judgment and criticism of everyone else, it then makes you a judge and a critic of the Word of God. And when you become a judge and a critic of the Word of God, you're no longer a doer of the Word of God that you would like to assume you are the doer of. Let that sink in for just a moment. When you and I sit around with a critical, self-righteous spirit, and we're waxing eloquently about how this person is wrong, and this family is wrong, and this situation is wrong, where God has not spoken with absolute certainty, you know what that makes true of us? That we're not near the doer of the word that we'd like to assume or pretend that we are. So the other night, as Susie and I sat there in the parking lot munching on our tater tots, criticizing everyone, you know what was true of us? The fact that we're not near as great as we'd like to think we are. Can you help me out just a little bit? Can that be a tough pill to swallow? We're sitting around, and again, we know where everybody else is wrong. We know what everybody else is struggling with, and we know what they ought to be doing different. Bless God, they'd be a whole lot better off if they were just like us. I don't think that's what the Scripture would lead us to believe. So notice what he goes on to say in verse number 12. There is one lawgiver. So if there's only one, what does that mean? It means there's not two. It's not him and me. Nor is it him and you. Think about it. There is one lawgiver. There is one giver of the law. There is one who has given us the word. And so James, in writing to these believers, who at least some of them no doubt have become very critical of the brethren, he says, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. There's only one who is able to deliver someone. There's only one who is able to destroy or to cast judgment on one. And he finishes the thought with this question: who art thou that judgest another? You know what that question is basically asking? It's basically asking this question, this idea is being conveyed. So who exactly do you think you are? There's only one lawgiver, and there's only one who is able to save and destroy. Who do you think you are to sit in judgment of someone else? Now again, we're not talking about the absolutes. We're not talking about the things that are clearly lined out in Scripture and laid out for everyone to adhere to. We're talking about those areas where God allows for some variation. He says to the believers that he's writing to, who exactly do you think you are? You opinionated, bossy little child, you. You're not in charge of them. You're not in charge of them. You're not in charge of them. And you're certainly not in charge of me. There's only one lawgiver. There is only one who has the ability to save and to destroy. Who do you think you are? Can I just be honest with you? I think more times than not, as tough as this is to admit, I think more times than not, I need to be asked the question, who exactly, Kyle, do you think you are? Okay, so you and Susie, you've prayed about some things, and you've decided that this is how you're supposed to do some things in life, and that's what I have led you into. Okay, that's where you're at. Now, this family over here, or this individual over here, they say that they have prayed about some things, and this is what they're supposed to do, and I've been silent on this, and I haven't told them that this is exactly what you're supposed to do, and so they're doing some things different. But Kyle, you've got an attitude now. Who do you think you are? I need to hear that every once in a while. Because with your attitude, you're not the doer of the law that you'd like to think you are. Now somebody, I don't know, somebody might be saying something like this. Brother Kyle, I really don't know exactly what it is you're trying to communicate. I'm kind of confused on this. I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, let's just, from as a random of a perspective as possible, okay? Let's just think of a scenario, just an illustration, all right? Let's consider the subject of debt, all right? D-E-B-T, debt. How many of us know that there are some people who are extremely opposed to debt? I mean, there are people who are extremely opposed to debt, and they are not going to live with any kind of debt. If they can't pay cash, they're not going to do it. They've prayed about it, and that's how they're going to live, and that's how God would have them to live, and that's what they're supposed to do. After all, the Scripture says that the borrower is the servant to the lender. That's what the Scripture says. No debt for us. Okay, no debt. But this person over here says we can handle the debt. With the job, with the income that we've got, we can make the payments. It doesn't put us in a bind. It doesn't strap us. We're not hurting. We can make the payments and we can do this. And we've prayed about it and we're okay. Somebody says the Scripture doesn't allow for that. No, hold on. The Scripture does totally allow for borrowing money. I mean, God even gave his own children rules on how to lend the money, how to borrow the money, and things of that nature. I'm just saying, so you've got one person who says, no debt, it's wrong, it's terrible, it's not the way it's supposed to be, and somebody else says, I'm okay with it. Well, guess what? No one's right and no one's wrong. You're just different. But this person can be so critical of this person because they're in debt. Hold on. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to get to tell this person how to handle their finances? Let them pray about it and how God leads them. That is between them and the Lord, but it's none of your business. And we could spend hours here if we wanted to, and I don't suspect that's the vibe I'm getting right now. I'm just saying we could spend hours trying to illustrate this, that we're just going to be different in some areas, but if we're not careful, everyone needs to be like us, and we become that very opinionated, bossy little child who wants to control everybody's life, and the Scripture reminds us that is not our place at all. If the Word of God says it's wrong, it is wrong, and it'll always be wrong. If the Word of God says it's right, it will be right always, no matter what anyone else says. But where the Scripture does not speak, you and I have got to learn to keep our mouths shut and even control some discipline over our minds. Just because we didn't say all the critical things, if all we do is dwell on all the critical things, we're still of a very critical spirit. So I'd like to just ask you, because see, you're near perfect, Pastor. He and his precious wife, Friday night, we totally blew it. Totally blew it. By the time we got done with supper, we weren't near as excited about fixing everyone else's problems. Because we realized, by the grace of God and the word that I'd studied earlier that day, we realized we probably ought to work on our attitude a little bit. Just want to ask you this morning, do you ever find yourself speaking evil of the brethren? Do you ever find yourself doing that? Critical? Maybe trying to shame them or disgrace them a little bit to the people that you're talking to. Maybe you're trying to vilify their actions and what it is they're doing. And you're trying to let somebody else know that this person is wrong and they shouldn't be doing that. Do we ever find ourselves doing that? Like the bossy little kid? You know what you need to be reminded of, as much as I need to be reminded of? That's really not your place. But I'm right. No. Maybe you're right for you, but it doesn't mean you're right for everyone else. Amen. Is there a chance that you need to be asked the question, who exactly do you think you are? We're not the lawgiver. We don't have the authority to save or to destroy. We don't have the right to sit in judgment of everyone else. We need to worry about ourselves, be mindful of that, and that'll keep most of us busy long enough. Who do we think we are to sit around and criticize and cast judgment on other people just because they're not like us? It is something that every one of us who are honest, it is something that every one of us need to work on from time to time. Let's all stand this morning and bow our heads for prayer. Father, as I come to you this morning, I pray that you'd help us just to be reminded of what